exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it. How many of you know God's got a plan? He's got a purpose. Oh, we can get sidetracked. Anybody ever get sidetracked? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Sometimes in the process of life, we don't realize that God's got a vision and a plan, but many of us want to see it come to fruition now, say today. But sometimes it's for an appointed time. It's not necessarily for today. It may be, but it may not be. God's got it for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak. Amen? God's going to not leave you like he found you. He's going to help you out and pull you up out of that stuff and set your feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. But the end, he will speak, and it will not lie. How many of you know God tells the truth? He tells us the truth. He tells us just like it is. Now, a lot of us don't want to hear the truth. A lot of us don't want to hear it sometimes, and we want to do our own thing and say, Lord, when I get ready, I'll come back to you and I'll change. And when things get tough, then I'm going to come back and seek your way. Though it tarry, listen what I'm saying, though it tarry, wait for it. Say, wait for it. It means don't give up. Don't run around trying to find it in another place, because it will surely come. Say, it will. It will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is upright in himself. But the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But I can't see it, Pastor. I can't see. I don't understand what's going on. Well, that's because we're not seeking it. We're not truly going after it. But I'm here to tell you, wait. Wait and watch what God will do. The live by faith in the Son of God. If I live by faith in the Son of God, how many of you know that's what we are called to do and believe, that Jesus Christ will lead, guide, and direct us. He'll show us the path. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll give us guidance. He'll direct your path each and every day as we trust and wait on him. Have you seen some people? I don't know about you, but I've seen quite a few people give up. Have you ever seen people give up? I mean, they get, you know, they're trudging along and everything's wonderful and God's good and hallelujah. And they come to church and hallelujah. And then all of a sudden they disappear and you don't know where they're at and what's going on. They're giving up, or they're running away, or they got issues or problems with people. How many of you know we all got issues and problems with people? Anybody got a few? Anybody not have any problems with anybody ever? Okay, see? Look around. You know, everybody's got issues and problems and things we have to work out. I believe that sometimes that God brings people that will irritate us and put them right in front of us. Do you believe that? I mean, I do, because he wants to work in us something new. He wants to bring us to a point of understanding that if we are looking at the problem here, it's probably not them. Oh, it might be, but it may not be. It might be the way we perceive it, or the way we understand it, or things that irritate us. You could call it something like this, our pet peeve. Things that really get on our nerves. Little things like maybe kids laying on the floor in church. Well, if you had to be here all week working for Vacation Bible School, you'd understand how tired they are. Hallelujah. Or maybe you could come and volunteer to watch them one day. I'll just move on. Well, have you seen some people that give up before their day of visitation? How many of you know we each have a day of visitation? And it's more than one day. God revisits us. Have you found yourself in God's presence, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in God's presence again? And then you find you, and it's visitations from the Holy Spirit. It's visitations that'll give us understanding and wisdom and guidance. And it's like it's so pleasurable to be in God's presence. Oh, man, when we get there, we're like, wow, can't we? Why can we just not live in that presence? Well, it's because we're flesh and blood. Oh, we're supposed to put on the spirit man, and we're supposed to walk in newness of life, and we're supposed to do things correctly. But how many of you know the flesh is weak? How many of you know the flesh is weak? Come on, you need to admit it. Go ahead. You know, sometimes you just give in and you say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and eat this fried chicken. I like to pick on that. I haven't had fried chicken in a long time. Except for yesterday, I didn't. I just asked, how glad are you that along your journey you didn't give up? How many of you are glad that you just don't give up? You just say, you know what, I understand that troubles come. In this world, the word says that you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And that's easy for Jesus to say, but what about us? Do we walk in Jesus? Do we walk and follow Jesus? When he tells us to take that big step or turn left or turn right, are we listening to his word? Or sometimes do we just want to make up our own minds? We just want to do what we want to do because we want to do it. Have you ever found a few things in your life that you just did and you found yourself thinking, wished I wouldn't have done that? Anybody? You did that, been there, wished I wouldn't have done that. You know what I found, though? There's no eraser. Have you found there's no eraser? No, there's forgiveness. I can be forgiven for things I've done, but there's no eraser because... Yeah, the word says you reap what you sow, and not only that, but the fine time, the understanding I have in my life, maybe you got this place, but I haven't, is that the brain just keeps on bringing stuff up. The devil keeps bringing stuff up that you know is forgiven. You know that you repented, but the devil or the enemy or your brain keeps bringing this stuff up and say, "Hell yeah, what about this? You remember when you did that?" Oh, man, back away, devil. Back away from me because I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. How many of you know that's why we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that we should come and find out what Jesus is saying to the church today. You see, he'll speak to you individually, and he will, but he'll also speak to us clearer when we get into the time of worship and prayer. Now, you don't have to come to church to get in worship and prayer, but I'm here to tell you that it's a lot of times we walk out of here more refreshed than when we walk out of our bedroom or when we step out of our car. Or I understand the corporate worship and corporate prayer, there's a building of it. You know, the word says where one prays, it puts 1,000 to flight. Where two prays, it puts 10,000 to flight. Could you imagine when we all come together and we're worshiping God and in spirit and truth and in one mind and one purpose? Now, I'm sure that there's at least 10 people here this morning that wish they wouldn't. It blows my mind. It's like, oh, man, I wish I could have stayed home in bed. It was Sunday. I could have slept. I could have cut the grass. I could have washed the car. Well, I feel sorry for you because to me, coming here to worship God with a corporate body, man, it means so much. I believe it means much to God, too, because he wants us to come together, and he wants us to quit trying to be the long ranger, the one that's out there by himself trying to do it and try, I'll do it myself. Okay, that's usually not working too good for most people, but if you've succeeded at it, well, bless you and keep going. But the Lord wants us to, you know, he tells us to go, and he tells us to reach out, and he tells us to be a light. I got a kick out of my daughter. Oh, by the way, can I make that announcement? Where are you? Can I make that announcement? We believe at this moment, Tabitha is now pregnant, if you haven't heard yet. And if you think she's got that weird-looking hair for any particular reason, we're doing a vacation Bible school next week, and that's part of the theme, you know. So they're trying to be in part. So anyway, what was I saying before that? You don't remember either. Okay, I got you. Find out what God wants us to do in walking in by faith. Realize that we all have a part to play. Are we prepared or at least preparing for what God has in store for us? Are we prepared, or are we at least trying to do what God called us to do? Or are we just kind of doing our own thing, but just trying to say, well, it'd be all right. God loves me. He knows my heart. How many of you know he's called you? He's called you for a purpose. He's called you and he set you in a place and he set you in a ministry. It may be not in a church, but it may, no matter where we are, when we proclaiming Jesus Christ, that's our calling, to let the world know about Jesus. How many of you know it's time for us as Christians to quit trying to do our own thing and start telling somebody, say, tell somebody about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5. and 5 says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing, God who has prepared us, is God, for he also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. He's given us the Spirit for to help us get through. He's given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So when you, when you're not trusting in what you see in the natural, you start listening to the Word of God and you start saying, you know what, although I don't feel it, I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to step out in God and say, Lord, I just don't understand. I don't know where you're bringing me. Have you ever just followed Jesus not knowing where you were going? Well, that's what he's calling. He's calling for us to pay attention and listen up. Watch this. God is preparing us. Are we living by faith in God? Or are we just seeing what the world's doing? Or are we just watching? Or whose voice are we listening to? How many of you know the word says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. 2 Corinthians 5:6 says this, and we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While I am doing stuff in my flesh, I'm absent from the Spirit of God. When I'm doing things in my own strength, I'm not being led by God. When I'm doing things away from God, I'm in disobedience. So we always confident knowing that while we are at the home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. I always use this in when I'm preaching or when I'm doing a funeral. I say that so that it'll comfort people that saying from being for absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And I've never connected this as in being absent from the body is being spiritual. And when I'm absent from the body, I'm spiritual. So I'm connected better with God. So the verse. The vice versa of that is that if I am in the flesh, if I'm in my body, then I'm not in the presence of God. Oh my. So no wonder why we struggle when we're doing things in our own strength, when we're doing things what we think is right, which the scripture says there's a way that seems right unto a man and then the end leads to death. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body. Are we in the Spirit? Is to be in the presence of the Lord. Have you ever felt like life has passed you by? Have you ever felt like, wow, what, all of a sudden, man, I'm 20. All of a sudden, you're 30. All of a sudden, you're 40. All of a sudden, you're 50. Should I stop there? All of a sudden, you're 60. All of a sudden, 77. All of a sudden, and you're thinking back and you say, wow, where did time go? What happened? How did I get here so fast? It's amazing how fast life truly is. The older we get, the more we understand the scripture that says life is but a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. Like a lot like my hair. I seen Tabitha's hair like that and I was thinking maybe I should do that. Have you ever felt that life has passed you by? Well, what happened? What happened? Why have we felt that life has passed us by? Have you ever went back and looked at photos and just kind of like, wow, look at this. Look, this is what you do usually for the older folks around here. You look at the folder, the pictures in your folders and you go, wow, look how young I was. Well, have you ever decided, have some of us decided just to sit down in our dysfunction or sit down and in the things and the places that's just not working for us, and we just kind of sat and waddled there for a little while and just kind of, woe is me. If God, if you love me, you'd help me get through this. And, oh, and, you know, we just kind of get that little pity party going on, and I don't have nowhere near as much as Jenny does. And if I had what Mike has, then I'd be all right. And we look around and we try to think and compare ourselves by ourselves, and the word says, that's not wise. Have you ever found yourself just sitting in a place of discomfort, of dysfunction, things that are not working? Have you ever said, God, come on, God, do something? My goodness, did I say that? Or did I spray it? Come on, God, do something. I love this song. I don't know if you've heard it. And he said, there's a song, I don't know even who's singing, but he says, I did, I made you. You see, God done something. He made you, and he made you to be a part of the body of Christ, that we would go and do and proclaim and do what he's called us to do and be who he's called us to be. Come on, God, do something. He says, I am. I'm sending you as a light into the world so that you'll tell people about me. Have we just sat back and watched things go by and whine and complain and said, God, when are you going to fix America? Well, we need prayer back in schools. We need this. We need that. We need a president. And we whine and fuss and complain and post and say all kind of stuff. But are we doing anything? Are we actually praying for our president? Are we actually praying for our politicians? Or do we spend time, serious time, saying, Lord, give him wisdom? Or do we just say, that idiot, shut it again? We like to say and whine and fuss, but are we doing something? We need to be proactive. We need to stand up and be a spiritual man and woman of God and do what God's called us to do. Pray about a situation. Don't just tell other people about it. Well, what do you think? Well, if they did this and if they did that and if they did the other, how about if you get on your knees and pray? How many of you know there's power in prayer? Can anybody say amen to that? Do you know there's power in prayer? Do you know that when we pray, there's things that happen? But if we just fuss about it and complain about it and whine about it, not too much happens other than spreading little ill feelings. Yeah, they should do something. I love it when people says they should do something. We should do something. Have you got the Holy Spirit inside of you? If you don't, before you leave here today, please come up. We'd love to pray with you, anoint you, and ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. But if you already got the Holy Spirit, then start praying and asking him to give you guidance. And ask him that, Lord, speak to me. How many of you need to hear his voice again? Say again. You need to write down the vision. You need to read the vision that God gave you. I know that the Lord spoke to many people in this church, and the Lord's speaking to it right now. He's speaking to that word that's inside of you, and he's saying, let the seed be planted. Let the word come alive that's inside of you. Don't hold it back. Don't just cover it up and say, well, you know, one day. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Write it down. Read it over and over again. Remind the Lord what, Lord, you said. And then learn how to run. Run the race that was set before you. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became an adult, a man, I put away childish things, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And sometimes we want to put that off in the sweet by and by, and yes, it's great. But how many of you know the Lord wants to see you face to face now? He wants to talk to you straight up. He wants to have that personal one-on-one, say relationship, Shari. Yeah, he wants to have that one-on-one personal relationship with you. For we see in a mirror dimly. Now I know in part. You know, sometimes people think they know it all, but we don't. We know some. Say some. There's some folks that think they know it all, but yes, they are know-it-alls. But then I shall know just as I am known. Watch this. Then I shall know just as I also am known. Do you have personal faith? Are you a person of faith? Do people see you? Do people see your light? Oh, that's where I was going to go with that. I just came back to me. I was when I talked about Tabitha. See how the Lord brings it back around? Tabitha was sitting at the table yesterday, and she goes, you know, sometimes my light don't shine. And like they were talking about doing some volunteer stuff, you know, in the community, you know. She says, well, you know, I just don't think I need to do that anymore. And Adam said, why? He says, because. She says, because. Where you at, Adam? Over there, there you are. And Adam said, why? And she says, because when I'm doing that, my light's not shining. I'm working in the flesh. And you see, that's an important thing for us to know, that if we're not shining a light, we need to back away from stuff. But what we should do is also learn how to turn the light on, amen, and work through it. We need to find out that God wants us to shine. Are we people? Are we a person of faith? Watch what 13 says. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. What does the word love mean to you? Think about that for a little while. Maybe one day you should go down and write down and sit down and write down what the word love means to you. And then don't go back and read the scriptures, because of course you know what the scriptures already say, right? But then after you finish writing down what love means to you, see if it, how in it, and if it compares to the Word of God. Compare it to the Word of God. Watch what it says, 13:1-8. Though I speak in tongues and men of angels, but do not have love, I make a lot of noise. A sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I can stand in church and thus saith the Lord, and understand all mysteries. Man, I can tell you all about what the Bible says and tell you what it means. And have all the knowledge, and I have and have not faith. What? So that I could remove a mountain, but not have love. If I can do all kind of things in the church and stay busy and act like I'm doing the right things, but don't love people. You see, that's why I was talking about corporate love, corporate meeting, corporate come together. If you're out there by yourself because you've been wounded, have you been wounded? Say yes. If you're out there all alone because somebody offended me. If we're out there all by ourselves and we're doing something because somebody said something and I don't like it. Thank you. Hallelujah. Say it real loud, Jenny. Get over it. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of you know they don't know what they're doing? So you might as well learn to forgive, so that way you can walk in victory. You can walk in faith and victory. You can have the joy of the Lord. What other people do won't affect the way you have to live. Too many of us have allowed other people, we have allowed other people to communicate things to us, to get us to a place that we're frustrated, we're mad, man, you should have seen this week. I lost it. How many of you ever lost it? I had like 6 things in a row it would go wrong. I mean, within 20 minutes. I almost threw my computer through the wall. The printer messed up, the computer locked up. I turned around to get a glass of water to cool off, knocked the whole glass onto the floor. Oh. One of those days. Have you ever had one of them? Like 6 or 7 things in a row, and I'm thinking, hold on, Tyrone. Carol was laughing at me. She said, you're losing it. And I think, yeah, I did. Yeah, we are. We lose it sometimes. Love, watch this. I am nothing if I don't have love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I can do a lot of things. I gave that guy on the side of the road $2 the other day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love. Now, here you go. This is where after you get your list made. Love suffers long. What? Wait a minute. I shouldn't have to suffer if I'm loving somebody. Yeah, well, they love you. And is kind. Are we kind? Or do we have an attitude problem? It's just the way I am. You got to learn to take me, I am, or heck with you. No, we need to be like Jesus. It says love is kind. Love is. Love does not envy. Oh, well, I sure wished I had what Jonathan Sherry's got. They got everything. He's got, they went to California, Cuba, Israel. They've been all over the world. They're taking trips. I wished I had. Jonathan says, you don't know my life. Love does not behave rudely. Love is not puffed up. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Say truth. Bears all things. That means you got to put up with some stuff, don't you? If you really love somebody, you got to put up with some stuff. How many of you have been putting up with stuff for a long time? You really love them, huh? Believes all things. Boy, that's a tough one, especially when they've lied to you a dozen times, huh? Uh-oh. Well, I'm going to believe you one more time. You might make a fool out of me, but that's okay. I love you anyway. Hopes all things. How many of you have been hoping? Endures. That's the word that just thrills me, enduring. Oh, I got to endure. I got to go through this again. How many of you have been through it again? Oh, here we go again. But watch this. Just like we heard earlier, that love never fails. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad love never fails? How many of you know Jesus is love? And how many of you know, Jesus never fails. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He is with you all the way. No matter how far you run away, he's right there going, I'm waiting for you, buddy. I'm waiting for you to turn around. Now, we probably struggle with a few of these things and not necessarily get them all just right. But have you heard, have you truly wanted to play, have you wanted to play the game? Have you wanted to say, do you tell God, God put me in, coach? Lord, I want to do your will. How many of you want to do his will? Oh, Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, help me. My flesh is weak. I don't know that I can. You can't, but he can through you. He will not call you unless he's enabled you to do what he's called you to do. Now, if you're doing something and you don't have the ability to do it, how many of you know you're probably going to mess up? You're probably going to make a lot of mistakes. And he's saying, get out of that. Don't do that no more. I got something else over here for you. How many of you know God's got a plan for each and every one of our lives? If you're not happy, I love my sister. I wish her luck over there in, where's she at? Covington, Mandeville. But a long time ago, about 10 years, 15, 20 years ago, she came into church a while back and she says, Lord, Tyrone, I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. What you need done? I said, well, you know, we always use some nursery workers. Hallelujah, I'm going to go work in the nursery. 3 days later, she came up to me, 3 Sundays later. She said, can you get me out the nursery? I can't stand it. I'm not made to be put up with babies. How many of you know, not everybody's made to put up with babies. That's okay. You don't have to do that ministry. But find the will of the Father in your life. Find what you can do. What's in your hand, as he told Moses? What is your ability? What is your talent? What can you do to glorify God? What can you do to be a part, say a part, of the body of Christ? What can we do to see God lifted up so that people, you know, the word says that when we lift Jesus up, he'll draw all men to him. So if we're lifting, if we're helping, support, if we're doing what we can to lift up Jesus, then Jesus is going to come, be a part of your life and be a part of the, what he's got in plan for you. Do you want to be a better person? Anybody? Then we need to learn how to try. Say try. I told you this a while back. I had this exercise program I was trying out, and it said, do your best and forget the rest. And I said, I love it. So when he did 50 push-ups, I did, oh, well, maybe I'll think about that. I'm going to do my best. Hallelujah. Do your best and forget the rest. Are you still a child in your spiritual man? Are you still a child in your spiritual understanding? Do we still just make excuses for what we didn't do? Well, you know, I would have, but how many of you got some buts? I shouldn't have said that. Too many of us get caught up into this stuff of what we don't realize that we can do something for the kingdom of God. We can do whatever we can for the kingdom and just do it to the best of your ability and watch what God will do through you. How many of you know that when we're in obedience to the word of God, life is enjoyable? That's the abundant life of Christ that he's telling us what to do. You can try your hardest to go out there and drink and smoke and women and men and whatever it is you into, and it'll never satisfy you. You'll always have a draw. You'll always have a desire. There's something wrong. I'm not getting what I need. I'm not satisfying Because the spirit man hungers for us to do righteousness. When we're trying all of that other stuff, man, we're missing the mark. Luke chapter 6, watch this. This is why. Excuse me. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit. Can a good tree do bad things? Yeah. But it does not bear bad fruit. But a bad tree does not bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. What are we producing? What are we reproducing? For who are you really? I was talking to somebody this morning before service, and we were sitting in the fellowship hall, and I said, why are you here? Why are we here? Because God called us not to just come and play an instrument or clean the church or be a part. Why am I here? Because I want to serve the Lord God Almighty. I want to do His will. I want to see Him lifted up. I know what He's done for me, and I'd like to see Him do it for you. I know how He's changed my life. I know the person I would be today if I would not have decided, say decide, if I would not have decided to follow Jesus. I would not be the person I am. I wouldn't be standing before you today. Because I'd have done my own thing. I'd have done it in my own strength. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to encourage you and say it's not too late. Life has not passed you by. I've got you right where I needed you because I brought you to this point so that you'll understand where other people are. How many of you know where other people are? And that doesn't mean you go wallow in the pig pen again, but you start talking to them and saying, you know, there's a better way. There's a way where there seems to be no way. There's a desert. There's a river in the desert. How many of you know God wants to water you in your dry place and bring you to a place of abundance in Jesus? Who are you really? What do you really want to do? I said this a long time ago. We do exactly what we want to do. That came from a big revelation to me about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, Paul Chicozola sitting across from me, and he tells me one day, he says, he read the paper every day. He reads his newspaper, and he says, man, I read this, and I read that. And then he goes, you don't never read the paper, do you? I said, no, I don't. And I said, I ain't got time to read the paper. And he goes, wait a minute. He goes, you got time, you just don't want to. I said, you're absolutely correct. I do have time. I can make time to read that if I wanted to, but I choose not to. So when that revelation right there, God speaks to my heart, speaks to every one of us in different ways. And that word became a stone for me, a landmark. It said, we do exactly what we want to do. Now the question is, what do you truly want to do? You see, because if you're not doing it, you're not happy. Or if you're trying to do what the world wants you to do, or you're trying to impress your neighbor, or you're trying to impress somebody else to say, look what I have, I got this, you got that. You're not going to be satisfied. You're doing what you want to do, and in the process, we miss what we should be doing because we're doing what we want to do. But this is what the Word says. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. So I'm going to encourage you to not just do what you want to do, but do what you know the Word of God says to do. And then watch what will happen. Now, I've heard people say, well, I can't read. I'm not a good Christian. I want to. But I'm here to tell you, if you practice living life as a Christian, all of a sudden God will start giving you little glimpses and little bits and little pieces, and the puzzle starts coming together, and all of a sudden you find yourself not needing the drugs, not needing the alcohol, not needing the sex, not needing the whatever it is your vice might be. Chicken. You might find out that if we will do what God called us to do, we'll no longer need or want to do those things. We thought we wanted those things, but truly in our heart, what do we really want? I don't know about you, but I want to please my Father. I want to please my Father in heaven. I want him to be able to look down and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Have we made mistakes along the way? Say yes. You know we have. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Awake unto righteousness. Awake unto righteousness. Wake up and don't sin. What? Well, that's just easier said than done, brother. Yeah, well, you're going to have to practice. You're going to have to practice. Okay, I'm going to say it again. You're going to have to. We have to keep going after God with all of our heart. Don't give up. Some of us don't have the knowledge of God. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, if we don't have the knowledge. But Father, you've given us your word that we might have it, that we could consume it, that it might become a part of us, that we'll learn, say learn. Learn to hear your voice and walk in truth. Walk in faith and victory. We got to realize that. Watch this. Luke chapter 6 and 49. But he who hears and does nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation. Now, if you have any idea of any kind of building, you know you got to have a foundation. Things just don't last. Do we have a foundation? Is Jesus Christ? I mean, we came to the point of saying, Lord, I need you in my life. Lord, I ask you into my life. And that's the foundation of Christianity, is asking God into our heart and mind. Say it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. But then there comes a time to start building your house. What are we doing? Oh, I got saved. But what have we done since then? Oh, we need to learn how. Well, I can't be a preacher. You don't have to do what other people's doing. Find. Say find. Find your vision. Find your vision. What God wants to do in and through you. And do it. You know, it's like when I first started coming around here, Rhonda said, hey, you want to come help us with the young people? And I said, sure, let's go do that. And I was rough. I was not ready to be a youth pastor. I was not ready to work with teenagers even. I mean, when I drove, Becky was saying that we drove down the bridge on two wheels. So, you know, I was like, hey, this is cool. Y'all having fun? Ron did not know that. Neither did Ernie. How many of you done things that your pastor don't know about? Don't tell me. But God started working in my heart. And he started telling me, hey, boy, you got to stop that. You got to start doing this. You got to start reading. You got to start finding out what I want in you. And wow, God, you're good. Amen? The foundation was laid. And again, when the streams beat vehemently against that house, it fell. Why do people fall? Why do people make mistakes? Why do we get away from God? Why do we get away from church? Because our foundation's got some cracks in it. Our foundation is struck. We have a hard time truly believing that God is real. I mean, if we knew he was real, we'd say, uh-oh. I ain't doing that. I know what's coming from that. If we knew, if our foundation was solid, we could build a house and it'll stand. It'll take the test of time. It'll take the test of when the hard times come, when the rough time comes, when things aren't working well. How many of you had some things that didn't just work out the way you wanted it? Well, because it was the way we wanted it instead of walking by faith. Walking by faith, taking a step in faith. Lord, help me. I have obstacles in my life. How many of you got obstacles in your life? You got a few obstacles? Let me get to it. Go for it, Tab. And immediately it fell. I don't know. This is not a Christian song. I don't know if you ever heard it. It's called Free Fallin' by Tom Petty. Wrote in 1969. Turn it up a little bit. This song came out in 1969, and I can remember when it came out. I sat and I was driving down the road in my car, and I started weeping because I started thinking, wow, I am free falling. I'm not living godly. I'm falling. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And the Lord started thundering in my heart. You're falling. You might be free, or you think you are, but you're free falling. And I'm here to tell you right now that God's got you in a place that as you're free falling, he's reaching out and he's saying, I got you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Say, don't give up. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is a way of death. Even the laughter of his heart, even when you're having a good time, you might sorrow. And the end of mirror, that's having a good time partying or whatever, there may be grief. Sometimes you can go out and party and have a great time, and the next morning you're wondering where your car is. Oh, how'd I get here? Oh, my goodness. And there's grief that's coming. The backslider in his heart will be filled with the ways of his own. But a good man will be satisfied from above. A good man, say a good man, will be satisfied from above. How many of you love Jesus? You love Jesus with all your heart. You'll be satisfied from above. You don't need somebody else to pat you on the back. You don't need somebody else to say, you did a great job. You don't get worried about your boss because you're not working for him. You're just doing something as unto the Lord. Because when we're trying to please people, how many of you know we will be dissatisfied? Oh, they'll be dissatisfied. They'll give you a hard time. The simple believe every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages in self-confidence. I can do this. I got this. I've done it this way all my life. How many of you know we've messed up a lot in our life too? Are we living by faith and not by sight? Do we believe the Bible to be true? Do we believe the Word of God to be true? How much do we read it? Are we living by faith in the Son of God?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Don't turn it down.
Calling for you.
Jesus is calling for us. Jesus is calling for you. He's already called for me.
He's waiting and watching.
He's watching.
Watching.
He's waiting and watching for us.
And for
come on. Come on. Quit trying to do it in your own strength. Quit trying to do things your way.
Come home.
Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me.
Ye
thank you, Jesus. Are you tired of fighting?
Come home.
Are you tired of trying to do things your way? Have you tried it so long that now it's just a habit? It's time to break the habit. It's time to run after God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Can you tell the Lord this morning, I'm coming, Lord? I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of running the race. I'm tired of the rat race. I'm tired of doing things in my own strength. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. Today, Lord, I decide. I decide, Lord. I decide. Not what anybody else is saying, but I decide, Lord, to follow you. Follow you, Lord. Will you speak to me, Lord? Will you speak to me, Lord? Will you make it clear? Lord, will we write it? Will we read it? And will we run the race that you've set before us? I'm coming this morning into your hands, Lord. Your merciful hands, Lord. Your forgiving hands, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. You pardoned us, oh God. Lord, earnestly.
Jesus is calling.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Calling.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come.
Hallelujah. I was a Baptist boy. And they did
Jesus is calling.
Altar calls. After every service. And there was probably 10 people in the church. I don't know about you, but almost every time I felt like I needed to go down and say, Lord, I messed up again. I'm just going to encourage you this morning, if you would, if you'd like to just come into the presence of God, come on down. I'd like to give you that opportunity to come on down and allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. If you want some specific prayer for some specific. If you need something, come on down and let God speak to your heart this morning. Watch the pillars if you're coming down. Go ahead, come on right now. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Don't hold back. Don't resist. Don't say, "Oh, I ain't gonna be the first one to get up and go down there." Allow the Spirit to speak to your heart right now. That's you. Come on. Jesus is breaking through some barriers. Don't worry about where you've been, what you did. Oh, wait a minute. I've been here and I've done this and I've done that. How many of you know Jesus is calling today? He's calling. He's calling your heart. He's calling your mind. He's calling your soul. It's not about what we said today. It's about what Jesus is speaking to your heart right now. The word says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we are saved. So if you've already done that, that's great. But then it says that we've got to run with endurance the race that was set before us. That we've got to find a way in. Not just standing out on yourself and trying to do this alone. God wants to do something in your heart right now. God wants to do something right now in your heart and mind. If you give your life to Christ again, say again, "I'm here again, Lord. I'm at your throne again, Lord. I'm at your altar again, Lord." Lord, we just ask you right now that you would pour out your Spirit. Lord, that you would do a mighty work. Lord, that you would encourage the body of Christ. Lord, that you would strengthen us, oh Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord, this morning, that you would just come this morning. Come this morning. Lord Father, we thank you, glorify your name, Lord. We ask you to do a mighty work in them. Bless them, Lord, and strengthen them. Let you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That we would consider, Lord Jesus, all of the stuff that we've been trying to do in our own strength. Lord, let us repent, oh God, and come to a place of understanding. Father, thank you for the body of Christ this morning, that we can come together and worship you in truth and spirit. Thank you for your word that came forth. Lord, that you would fill our spirits and minds. Let us rejoice going from this place today, knowing that we have things. We can say, like that song says, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. I hug somebody in Jesus' name. If you need some special prayer, come on down. If you'd like to stick around and help us set up for the Vacation Bible School, it surely would be deeply appreciated. If you can volunteer some of the week, any part of the week, please do so. If you could just come in 1 hour every now and then or 2 days, that'd be great also. You never